Now, if you're a fan of Willy Wonka, you might recall him singing, "Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. What we'll see will defy explanation." Now, he was talking about an edible factory floor. He could have been talking about the Public Accounts Committee meeting this morning, where officials from the board responsible for the completion of the National Children's Hospital and Children's Health Ireland were in the unenviable position of not being able to give either a completion date or a final cost for the hospital, and instead of everlasting gobstoppers, it was everlasting timelines and inconceivable amounts of money. Jane, what did we hear from the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board's David Gunning? What was he telling the pack about completion dates today?
Yeah, Cullum, like you said, there's an awful lot of maybes. There's still an awful lot of unknowns. So we learned today, Eilidh Herdman, the CEO of CHI, she said that the commissioning programme for the hospital will take at least 6 months. So BAM, the contractors, have told them that the hospital will be complete by October 2024. So with those at least 6 months, we're now talking of a date of at least April 25 before there's actually patients in the hospital. So it's gone further and further again. David Gunning kind of was a little bit optimistic today. He had said that he believed that this date was achievable, but it was subject to the contractors completing the works on schedule. And you know, there's been issues there before, obviously. So, but
well, let's hear a clip of that David Gunning adding that caveat in an exchange with Sinn Féin's Imelda Munster at the Public Accounts Committee earlier.
What they are saying to us is that their commitment, is there.
And you're taking that as genuine.
I think the optimism has been beaten out of all of us in relation to this project, right? Just to be absolutely clear. But at times, you know, when you do have that kind of an interaction with someone, you like to be able to say, I think, you know, they're serious about this. But as I responded to Deputy Murphy's point, there remain challenges in getting this across the line. I think our focus is now, how can we assist and support getting and building certainty and confidence in that date?
Well, that's David Gunning from the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board speaking at the Public Accounts Committee. Now, things had been pretty fractious between that board and BAM, the contractor. That seems to be slightly better now from what David Gunning was saying. He was attempting at least not to cause any further rows, but he mentioned challenges there. Did he give an indication as to what kind of challenges they were looking at?
Yeah, so like you said, he kind of suggested that the relationship, he did himself say that the relationship has improved with the contractor. Now we know there's ongoing illegal issues there around the claims. So I think the committee heard today that 641 million claims have been assessed so far. I think around 18 million of that has been decided. But there's significant claims outstanding. You know, one claim alone is 100 million. And then there's another 17 claims accounting for 628 million. So there's still an awful lot there to be decided. And Alan Kelly said himself today, like he was talking about the final cost. And he said for a long time now that it's not going to be under 2 million. He asked...
2 billion,
two
yeah. Bi-
sorry,
yeah.
2 billion. He asked the representatives that were there today to speak up if they, you know, disagreed with what he said. And he was just met with silence. So, you know, it looks like it's just going to keep going upwards.
Right. John Brady, you're a member of the Public Accounts Committee. Were you there today?
I couldn't make it today, but right. I was following it with keen interest. And I have to say, I suppose I agree with what Stephen Donnelly said back in 2019 when an opposition, when the figure reached 1 billion, he said it was a national scandal. And here we are 4 years later and the figure is probably conservatively going to be, you know, 2 billion. You know, and I wouldn't be optimistic that it would be 2 billion because we know there's a lot of additional costs. It was revealed today that doesn't include the additional staff that will be required. Obviously, some staff will transfer from other locations, but there will be 5,000 staff needed within the hospital, so that doesn't include that number. There's 2,379 claims. There's a number two.
But that's not unusual for a large infrastructure project. Claims are put in, and they don't always go the way of the claimant.
Absolutely, but that has to be factored in. You know, there's two before the High Court as well. So you know, all of this still has to play out. So even the time frame, the late latest time frame that we've given, you know, not the the commitment from Leo Varadkar that the hospital would be open by 2020, or, you know, the revised earlier in the year, we were told it was going to be March of next year, May of next year. Now it's November of next year before it's substantially completed. And then we're told there's going to be at least, and, you know, there was heavy emphasis on the words at least, a 6 month fit out period. So, you know, I think optimistically, will we see it open in 2025? I'm not sure. It could be 2026. And right.
The optimism has been knocked out of you as well.
Well, look, I mean, what is lacking here is leadership. What we have now is a minister who called it a national scandal back in 2019, continuing to sit on the fence. So what we need is someone to take leadership here. And when we have a situation where, bam, you know, and this was said with great confidence that BAM are hitting 65% of its monthly programme, as if that's some major accomplishment. Yes, it is a marginal increase on where they were in terms of 40%, 65%. I mean, there's huge resources, additional resources needed to get this back on some sort of a programme where it can be delivered as quickly as right. possible. The longer it goes on, the higher the costs are going to be to all the right. taxpayer.
Patrick Oslo, the reason they're called BAM or called contractors is because there's a contract, and that's a legal agreement which is in place. So calls for politicians to intervene and exercise control. I mean, there's a board there. There's a contract there. Why isn't that enough?
Well, I think as John says, where is the leadership on this? And it's like there's a board there who hold the contract, and, you know, the minister's ability to intervene and step in is limited because of that structure. But equally, the accountability, the transparency is limited because of that structure. So we also then have the Department of Health, the HSE, CHI, the MPHDB, and the contractor as well. So there's so many players in this, and there's a real lack of accountability and a lack of transparency, and it's almost been deliberately structured that way. And as a result, the lack of cost controls, the spiralling of timelines.
Well, just on the cost controls, the Society of Chartered Surveyors in Ireland said that over the past 3 years, there's been a 26% increase in tender price inflation, and feeding into that is energy costs, which affects plasterboard, insulation, plastic ducting, aggregates, construction activity demand is there, there's labour shortages. So it shouldn't be unexpected that, given the rate of inflation, costs have gone up, and pretty significantly, particularly with the war in Ukraine.
Yes, but at the same time, while costs are going up, there needs to be measures built into a contract to ensure that you're protecting yourself, particularly for a contract that's going to be so long and so complex as this. Now, I've no doubt the contract is massive and massively complex. But again, if, you know, when we have a Department of Health and we have a minister who has executive power, and that power has, through this contract and through the structure, has been outsourced and ebbed away. So
you think the minister should be taking a more hands-on role, do you?
I think that the structure that has been set up and created to push this out has fed into the situation we're in now, where there's a lack of accountability and there's a lack of clarity in how things are being delivered.
All right. Tanya Ward, if it is going to be 2026 and now is 2023, what needs to be ensured in the meantime, surely, is that adequate and indeed improving care is in place for children while this hospital has been built. And that's going to come at a further cost to make sure that the current facilities are being run properly.
I mean, that's right. I mean, I feel that this delay couldn't come at a worse time, because I think when it comes to child health in Ireland, we're in a very difficult place. Like, there are really long waiting lists and a whole range of different acute and specialist areas. And that was made worse, to be honest, because of COVID, because, you know, there are cancellations of certain procedures and operations, and some services for children were redirected towards the COVID effort. So a lot of children are suffering because of that. And it's pretty clear some of the facilities in Crumlin, some of the facilities in Talla, in Temple Street, you know, they're not at the standard they need to be to continue to provide the service. So I think the focus now needs to move on to what's going to happen for children right now who are on those waiting lists. What's going to happen for the medics and professionals in those different hospitals who were crying out and waiting for new, you know, upscale facilities. And the other side of it, I think, as well, that's really important. I mean, yes, it's going to be finished if it is finished at all. And we were being prepared today that actually April 2025, that's probably not going to be the date. It has to be kitted out. But the other side of it is it has to be staffed up as well. So right now they need to be building the workforce and the staff plan. Because one of the problems, I think, in Ireland when it comes to children's services, we haven't done enough work to build the services we need. It's why we have the waiting lists we have. You know, these issues were often created 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years ago. So I think that's something that the HSE and the government can focus on now if they can't control the costs or when the hospital's actually finished.
All right, Jane, there is another cost there and it's related to tax. What is that and how much is it?
Yeah, so that was revealed today actually. It's quite a shocking revelation, I think, at the committee. David Gunning, told the committee that due to a miscalculation of tax and due to the wrong tax code or the wrong tax system being used, a penalty settlement had to be paid to revenue. It cost nearly 1 million euro, so it was 938,000 in total. Just gone like that.
Right. And was there any indication as to how this error happened?
No, I think it was as simple, from my understanding of it was as simple as a wrong tax code being used, so a miscalculation or misclassification.
Right. Patrick Costello, in terms of unforeseen costs arising, this is a peculiar one, surely?
Absolutely. I think it reflects a couple of things. First of all, the complexity and the size of this, that one small misclassification has a bill of almost €1 million. But also, I think it reflects my point that maybe the structures we have put in place to build this hospital aren't the best, because if such a mistake was to happen in any other part of the government or in any other part a job, there would be consequences. And I'm, you know, what is happening here?
All right, well, what about the National Maternity Hospital? Have the structures been put in place to build that particular project? And is there any evidence that there have been lessons learned here?
This is my concern. This is exactly the point I was about to make, that yes, I'm very concerned that the lessons aren't being learned. Now, it says that there is talk that the National Maternity Hospital are in constant talk with the National, the MPHDB, to ensure that the lessons are learned and to where these things are transferred over. I guess one of my concerns as well is that a lot of the time when huge mistakes like this get made in public delivery, people start backing away and don't want to be the next person to make the same mistake. And so decisions don't get made and you end up in a situation that things actually just get worse because no one's willing to make a decision because no one wants to be responsible for the next children's hospital.
Right.
And the National Maternity Hospital, which is just as needed, will be dragged out again and again and again as a result.
John Brady, I don't know if you know this, but does the Public Accounts Committee have any remit to save money in advance of spending and maybe call in the National Maternity Hospital Board and say, look, here's what we've seen from this project. Have you got safeguards, sufficient safeguards in place before you begin drawing down the budget?
Well, certainly we can ask the questions whether we have a remit around that. Obviously, this is, you know, Public Accounts Committee is when money is spent. But certainly we can ask those questions. But certainly, I mean, out of this whole process, there has to be key learnings. And, you know, I mean, I share the concerns that Patrick has there around the National Maternity Hospital. I have concerns around the whole tendering process that, you know, some contractors may well go back in for other key contracts, given, you know, the litany of
careful now.
Yeah, absolutely careful. You know, the situation in which we find ourselves in.
So BAM have a record of bringing in other contracts on time and on budget as well. I mean, this one seems to stick out like a sore thumb.
Well, it does. And you know, I suppose there's a lot of questions there in terms of financial penalties, when financial penalties were actually imposed, whether they imposed early enough. We were told that there is, I think it's a 15% can be withheld in terms of monthly payments. They are being implemented now. Whether they, you know, were implemented early on when a lot of these issues started to arise. So certainly, you know, we need to, you know, take a lot from this. An awful lot needs to be learned. But ultimately, someone has to be held responsible for this whole absolute scandal that has arisen, leading to what is going to be the most expensive hospital anywhere in the world.
All right, let's see what the listeners have been saying on this. A. O'Connor says, what's the secret traffic management plan for the new hospital? Traffic's already choked in the area. The hospital isn't even open yet. It makes no sense to begin with to build a new hospital on this site. Ambulances are going to get stuck on traffic roads with no slip lanes. That's from A. And there's from Mary, a nurse in Dublin, says there's a far bigger question than when will the hospital open. The bigger question is how will they staff it? There's no credible workforce planning. They can't staff the hospital, children's ICUs, intensive care units now, says, as I say, Mary, a nurse in Dublin.